to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
According to the North Carolina Medical Journal, of the 1.16 million military veterans who registered for VA health care between 2002 and 2014, 55% have been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Generally stated, post-traumatic stress disorder is a psychiatric disorder that results from the experience witnessing of traumatic or life-threatening events. And to date, the primary treatment for PTSD has been a combination of medication and counseling. Well, my guest today, Eric Wall Robinstein, has a revolutionary new approach using ancient mindfulness and yoga to resolve PTSD and provide an ongoing way to deal with stress. It works for veterans, and it can work for you also. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and comments. We have two chats, one on Blog Talk Radio, the other on emotionalpro.com, and you can call toll-free 888-498-0570, 888-498-0570, and talk directly with me and my guest, Eric Wall Robinstein. So he's an author, a speaker, and a nationally recognized educator in the fields of yoga, mindfulness, and mind-body wellness. He specializes in the translation of ancient wisdom for modern times, and he's an expert in the practical application of mind-body technologies from yoga, meditation, and mindfulness, leading to artful, happy, and stress-free living in modern life. He is the author of Waging Inner Peace and can be found. I have two web locations for you. One is Eric Wall, that's ericwal.com, and the other is bootstrapusa.com. So, Eric Wall Robinstein, welcome to Full Power Living.
Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here, Eileen.
Yeah. So I was poking around learning about more about PTSD. As a psychotherapist, I know a bit about it. But I noticed that psychology has a new concept that explains what happens in PTSD. They call it allostasis, and it refers to the psychobiological regulatory process that brings about stability when there's a change of state consequential to stress, they say. And they call that stress a perceived lack or loss of fit of one's perceived abilities and the demands of one's inner world or the surrounding environment. When I read about that, I more understood what it is that you are talking about in your book, Waging Inner Peace, because you're talking about changing perceptions and reactions in everyday life. So that's what you're doing in your Bootstrap program, correct?
Oh, it's absolutely true. I think, you know, in most simplistic terms, what we're really trying to do is to take the nervous system and restore its natural functioning. And so if we think of a pendulum, the nervous system is designed to swing from one end of a sweep to another. So from this thing called parasympathetic state, which is nice, relaxed, calm, and rejuvenating state, to the sympathetic state, which is fight or flight or freeze, where we are maybe facing a threat. And the thing that I think is important for everybody to understand is that the nervous system is designed to swing into this sympathetic or fight or flight state when it's appropriate. The problem is that with post-traumatic stress and other chronic stress conditions, is that this natural swing between fight or flight and relaxation becomes limited or truncated. So we never really get back to that rejuvenation, and we kind of are stuck in this fight or flight state. And so one of the things that we're really trying to do is to address the internal habits of mind and the tendencies of our attention and such in a way that helps to restore that natural swing.
You know, one of the reasons I was excited to read your book, Eric, is we've had a number of people here recently talking about, you know, how our nervous system was set up to deal with saber-toothed tigers, and we're no longer confronted with saber-toothed tigers, so we're creating stress by where we're focusing our attention, what we're worrying about, and so forth and so on. And that's exactly what you're describing there, that a way that a person with the effort of an hour a day in a matter of weeks can actually change their habits of doing that. Is that?
I think that's a really a fair way to put it. And, you know, you bring up a really, I think, important point is that the truth is our nervous system wasn't built for many of the stresses that we are subjecting them to. You bring up a saber-toothed tiger, or we could bring up a tornado, or any other of these kind of ancient threats that we may have faced way back when. All of these were fairly short in duration. They may have been very intense, but they were pretty short in duration. When we compare those kinds of events to a 18 or a 12-month deployment in Iraq, or even a 20-year career in law enforcement, or even 20 years of raising three kids, we're talking about a duration and an intensity that really is kind of significantly different from these very short episodic bursts. And as a result, the nervous system sometimes gets knocked out of balance unless we kind of step in with some curative measures. And my whole background has to do with the mind-body health space. So what we endeavor to do is to use techniques from mindfulness, yoga, and meditation in order to bring things back into balance.
Yes, and we should note also that you served in the military yourself. Is that where you began becoming aware of the power of PTSD over veterans and service people?
Well, my history with chronic stress actually predates that. Back in 1980, I was a young kid of 17 years old in a parking garage in Sacramento, California, and I was attacked by a pack of thugs, for lack of a better term. They gave me a pretty good beating, took my wallet, kicked me to the ground. They had knives, but I wasn't stabbed, so I wasn't really that bad off, or so I thought. And so I figured, you know, in a week or two, I'll be no worse for wear. But what really happened was that I began to notice that dark enclosed spaces would send me into a low-grade panic. People who looked like my attackers would make me feel really, really anxious and nervous. I had some issues with anger and impatience and insomnia. And this went on for a good 15 years before I really started noticing that this was not going to go away, and began connecting the dots and figuring out what I was dealing with was my very own personal case of chronic stress. And so it was that event and the subsequent symptoms that actually propelled me in the direction of investigating some of these mind-body techniques to bring my own life back into balance.
Wow. Wow. And so, but when you got out of the military, you went into working with the mind-body health, and I make note that you founded the largest yoga center in the state of Arizona. Now, so as you were learning, and you obviously had been focused there for a number of years since you experienced it yourself, what did you do? See the interface, see the possibilities that yoga and mindfulness could help people in changing their mental patterns, their behavior patterns?
Well, I had been working here in my center in Phoenix for years and years with small groups and individuals on a whole host of different conditions, but a lot of them were having to do with chronic stress, acute stress, and various different stress issues. And I was seeing some really, really good results with it. And it was back in, 2006, might have been 2005, so don't quote me. But my phone rang, and I got a call from an old student of mine who was the mother of a U.S. Marine. And her son, Stephen, had just been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and she was understandably in a bit of a state about it, because at the forefront of the news at the time was how all of our troops and veterans with post-traumatic stress were not getting the help they needed, and many of them were really being kind of just fed all sorts of cocktails of pharmaceuticals that had their own side effects. So she was reaching out to me to see if there was anything I could do to help. And now I know that I had been doing a lot of work here in Phoenix with really good results, but the trouble was that Stephen was out at Camp Pendleton in California, and he wasn't able to travel. So that got me to really start thinking about how could I repackage many of the different protocols and practices that we were using here in Phoenix in a way that I could make them available to troops and veterans all around the world, even in the privacy of their own homes. And so that was what started me in creating the Bootstrap program, which, of course, is the core upon which my book Waging Inner Peace is actually built.
Right. And I want to tell you, I think your concept is brilliant. It sounds like this to me. Instead of giving medications or just talking, why not open the door to PTSD sufferers regaining their sense of being able to cope, and why not do it in a step-by-step program that can be done at home with tools and techniques that will release the stuck energy and also lead to ongoing ways of handling life's inevitable stresses. And one thing you add that I'm really impressed with, for that matter, why not make it free to service members and veterans? This is how you've set up your Bootstrap program.
It really is. And, you know, one of the things that I want to kind of emphasize in terms of, and based upon what you just said, is that our goal from the outset was really to empower those struggling with chronic stress conditions to be agents of their own healing. Now, this isn't to say in any way, shape, or form that some people still don't need to go seek out more traditional treatments, whether they have to do with therapies or sometimes pharmaceuticals or other things. But there's a huge number of people who feel fairly powerless when it comes to understanding what's going on with them regarding the stress and what are some of the, honestly, simple things that they can do in order to really take the edge off that and begin to move towards more healing. So the Bootstrap program, you know, even though there's an awful lot of yoga and mindfulness programs that are addressing stress out there these days, one of the things that makes us fairly unique is this focus on an educational element, as opposed to just doing some postures or some breathing or some meditation or relaxation and feeling better. The entire Bootstrap process is predicated upon this idea that we want to help people to understand what's going on with them underneath the hoods of these body minds of theirs. And then once we understand the stress process and how it's become out of control, then we are much better poised to employ certain techniques or tools in order to restore balance to the system. And really, that's the whole thrust of Bootstrap and the book.
Wow. That's so wonderful. So what you're really looking at here, just see if I can get my head around it. You're looking at the fact that when we have experiences that are difficult for us to handle, or we feel like we can't cope, or they're overwhelming, we, on an emotional level, we don't let that emotion go, most of us, and especially in the war zones, you don't let that emotion go. So essentially the energy of that emotion piles up inside of you, and when it does, you feel blocked. And for most people, don't they end up then saying, there's something wrong with me?
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. And without getting overly technical, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Eileen, but there's something called amygdala tagging that happens deep in the deep recesses of the brain. And basically what this does is, as we move through the world, we are biologically hardwired to register things that are a dire threat in our environment. And when we experience something that is a life-threatening event, it gets tagged in the brain as super dangerous. And as a result, that little piece of programming or learning stays lodged in the brain. And one of the best examples I can think of is let's think of a 25-year-old who is just kind of a normal, well-adjusted guy, and then he goes to, say, Afghanistan, where he is dealing with the threat of roads in and day out. When he comes back home to Los Angeles, California, and he sees maybe a box on the side of the road, he has a stress event as a result of seeing a box on the side of the road, which he wouldn't have had before he went to Afghanistan. And the reason is that in Afghanistan, that boxes on the side of the road are places where they hide roadside bombs. And that is tagged by the brain. And then for that point forward, the brain then registers something on the side of the road as an absolute life-threatening event. And that triggers the threat response. And once it's tagged in the brain like this, this is a completely automatic process that really happens out of our control. So what we need to do in order to begin to kind of normalize things is, here's the good news, right? The brain has learned that this box on the side of the road is danger as a result of being in Afghanistan. Because the brain has learned it, the brain can also unlearn it, but it takes some time and effort and, of course, the skillful use of different techniques and tools and practices in order to help us get there.
Mm-hmm. So now there are a couple of things that really are needed. First of all, people need to realize that something that's learned can be unlearned and something else learned in its place. People tend to judge themselves. And so, you know, there's something wrong with me. I can't tell anybody about it. There's no cure for it. It's happening just to me. And I don't know what to do about it, and nobody can help me with it. Part of what you do in your book that I liked also is you talk about the fact that these reactions are human. This is just how we humans are made, and when that energy gets stuck, we got to do something about it, otherwise it kind of goes crazy inside of us. I like that.
I have a dear friend of mine who is a psychologist here in Phoenix, and she has one of the most artful definitions of post-traumatic stress that I've ever heard, and I love it. And she says that post-traumatic stress is a normal reaction to an abnormal circumstance. So The idea that what you're pointing towards, of course, is that there's this huge stigma. It's getting better, but particularly in the military and with the veterans and such, there's a significant stigma about seeking mental health services. And because people are feeling like, okay, so you're damaged or you're weak or you're this or you're that. And this is why, to a large degree, the military has gone away from using that word disorder. Instead of post-traumatic stress disorder, they are now saying post-traumatic stress. Because to your point, one of the most important things we need to do is to help people recognize that this is a natural and normal functioning of the human organism to an abnormal experience, something that nobody should ever have to experience. And when we can make that flip, that changes our relationship with what's going on with us and allows us to be more open about it, more skillful in dealing with it, and even kind of stimulating maybe kind of a curiosity about wanting to figure it out as opposed to feeling victimized by it or any number of other unhelpful emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I really like that a lot. So it's time for a break now. I'm talking with Eric Wahl-Robinstein, who's author of Waging Inner Peace. And when we come back, Eric, I want to talk with you about the three-pronged bootstrap approach and how it works. All right?
Sounds great.
You're listening to You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free emotional mastery teleseminar.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I want to remind you to call in now to talk with Eric Wall Robinstein, who's a yoga and mindfulness instructor and also the author of Waging Inner Peace, which offers a non-medication approach to ending PTSD or managing it that everyone can use to release the pattern of stress. Our number is 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. So I have a few announcements. Next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with a very remarkable person, a 15-year-old who has a popular YouTube program about food and cooking, who was diagnosed with autism as a toddler and has just come out with his own cookbook, the Chase In Your Face Cookbook. That's Chase Bailey. So what were you doing at the age of 15? Chase, in the last 2 years, since he was 13, has interviewed some of the best-known chefs on his program, and I think we have a lot of things we can learn from him. We have many wonderful shows scheduled for you, so do go to our homepage at emotionalpro.com, click subscribe. We'll put you on the list, give you a free gift, and notify you of our upcoming events, and tell your friends and family to listen also. So today I'm talking with the author of Waging Inner Peace, yoga and mindfulness instructor Eric Wall Robinstein. And Eric, I want to start off with an admission. I want to be transparent here that I grew up in a military family and watched the way people operated in terms of emotions and so forth. And it strikes me that not only is this good for the military, but if you've experienced sexual or physical abuse, if you've gone through acts of nature like fire or floods, that this same type of program could work for you. Is that so?
That you're absolutely right on, Eileen. And in fact, I would take it even further than that, because one of the things that we saw as we released the online bootstrap program that's right now in use by troops and veterans literally all around the world was that, not only were the service members and the veterans using the program, but in many cases, their family members, their kids and their spouses and parents and even their neighbors were beginning to use the program as well. And these were folks that weren't really subject to any kind of traumatic event or traumatic stress condition, but they were experiencing the daily stresses of life and were finding that the program was just as effective for them to become more artful in their navigating the everyday stresses of their lives. So the applicability of the program is very, very wide-ranging simply because we're all walking around with very similar nervous systems And just about everybody on the planet these days is becoming subject to more and more stresses in our environment. So it's really, really accessible and important for everybody, which is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, your program is very tightly structured, and I can assume, since you did your first thinking about it, trying to help your friend, I think you said his name is Stephen, in California, that you were looking to how can I explain all of this to him and give him direction so that he can actually do it even though I'm not there. Was that your driving force?
There's two parts to it, really. The first, and I think the most important one, is that one, because we couldn't be in proximity. And up to that point, to be honest with you, all of my work had been done with people that I was in the same room with. And so the challenge number one was to package this in a way that could be dispensed in a way and digested by somebody independent of me or any other instructor being present. But the second thing was, is that I was really clear that the program that was needed in this case and the one that I wanted to offer to the world had to move beyond the traditional kind of mindfulness and relaxation techniques that really just seek to relax the body and mind. What I wanted to create was something that literally empowered people that were struggling with stress conditions to understand what was going on with them, to recognize the various different ways in which those unhelpful patterns that were going on within them could be interrupted, and then give them specific tools and techniques that they could use to bring things back to a natural, relaxed balance. So those were really the two driving factors of really kind of what I was trying to accomplish with the creation of Bootstrap.
That's great. And so you developed this bootstrap approach, which is a three-pronged approach that the three prongs are recognize, release, and restore. Can you explain how those three interrelate?
I sure can. Let me actually start by saying that the program itself is it's a 10-week process, with each week providing a lesson about one piece of the chronic stress puzzle, and then those lessons are paired with daily practices that take less than an hour a day to help them kind of really put what they've learned into action. Now, with that said, every one of these lessons hangs on this same three-pronged process that you just mentioned: recognize, release, and restore. The idea being that the first step in every aspect of this is that we want to recognize the unhelpful tendencies and hidden patterns of thought and other things within us that are actually making our chronic stress condition worse or perpetuating it outright. Once we begin to recognize those patterns and understand how they work, we then release those patterns by using something that we call basically behavioral experimentation. We give people certain experiments where they can try what is it like to use this behavior versus that behavior, so they begin to see, okay, so I am empowered to begin to relieve stress just by virtue of the fact of where I'm placing my attention or the thoughts that I'm choosing to embrace or the behaviors I'm choosing to take. And then that sets the stage for the third prong, recognize, release, restore, which is where we introduce the relaxation and mindfulness types of techniques and elements that are more traditional to kind of mind-body-based stress management programs.
It's interesting. I have this image in my mind as you're talking about how the stress and the events of war and so forth sort of like compress a human being or deflate the human being, and that what you're talking about doing is getting the poison out and then reinflating.
Yeah, right. That's a really good way to talk about it, I think. The first two parts of the system, the recognize and release, are about helping to remove those habits and tendencies that are actually making our stress conditions worse and perpetuating them. And then the last one is this reinflation that you're talking about, which is to kind of breathe more relaxation, rest, and rejuvenation into the system so that we can regain the happy and productive lives that we once had.
Yeah, so we can be human, really human again. So,
indeed.
Well, that's interesting. Years ago, people asked me for some steps to making change, and the first step that I came up with was that you have to recognize and accept that you have an issue, and that's recognition in your program. And so then you equip people. So many video for each lesson. You have a URL where people can go and get a recording or see a video of instruction or get yoga, understand better how to do the yoga postures as well. And that's, I know it's information, but when I encountered it, what it felt like to me more than anything was you being there, even though you aren't personally. It was like you were there. Okay, you need this. I'm going to give it to you right now.
I think that one of the most important pieces of the program is, to your point, that we do move beyond providing information. That where the rubber meets the road and why the program has been so successful for so many people is that it really involves people in a process of experimentation. And in the book and also in the program, we really enlist the user or the reader as what we call a stressologist. So we want people to kind of have this mindset that, as like any other scientist, I am going to study this problem. I'm going to understand how and why it's perpetuated. And then I'm going to use specific tools and techniques to figure out how to conquer it. So beyond just dispensing information to people, we're really taking them on a progressive journey, if you will, that involves part education and part experimentation. And that experimentation, of course, is done on ourselves so that we begin to see, okay, this type of behavior is making me feel worse. This kind of behavior is making me feel better. These types of thoughts are exacerbating my stress, and those types of thoughts are actually helping me feel more relaxed and present. And then as a result of that process, it becomes, I don't want to say entirely intuitive, but that word does apply, intuitive in terms of how we relate to our world in a way that is going to get us back to that happy life that we really are striving for.
Mm-hmm. And you also ask people to institute a process of checking in with themselves as they go along, which I'm going to guess would be preventive for further development of something like PTSD.
One of the techniques, there's five major techniques in the Bootstrap system, but one of the techniques is what we call scientific observation. And with every single weekly lesson, there are as a series of anywhere from 7 to 10 questions that we ask people to review on a daily basis and just to kind of reflect on the various different areas of their lives or the patterns of thinking or other types of things so that they're becoming more aware of the way that they are and the consequences that arise as a result of the way that they are. Because it is this process of introspection and becoming more and more conscious of our thoughts and behaviors and then the consequences that accrue to us as a result of them that helps us to find our way.
Mm-hmm. So those five that you mentioned are recognition sequence, intentional restoration, instant interventions, scientific observation, and personal commitment. Tell us about the instant interventions.
Instant interventions, to be honest, was the last piece of the process because what I noticed was once we had the first version of Bootstrap created, is we had a whole series of educational and relaxation techniques and other things that would help people in a generalized way. So as an example, every morning you would do either the recognition sequence or your relaxation practice or what have you, and that would set you up for having a much more stress-free day. But what we didn't have was, so I like to think of those practices, by the way, as you can think of them as like a multivitamin, right? We take a multivitamin in a generalized way so that we, overall we're more healthy. But what we didn't have was something to address specific stress episodes. So, for instance, you might find yourself in a confrontation with somebody in a supermarket, or you're stuck in traffic, or your boss is on your back. And in that moment, there's an expression of stress that needs to somehow be met in an effective way with some sort of back pocket technique, perhaps. And that's what the instant interventions were really designed to do. So rather than a multivitamin, the instant interventions are more like an aspirin that you take because you have a headache now. And the instant interventions, there's three of them, and they're simple techniques, but they're actually very powerful as well. And they involve things like consciously breathing in a certain way, consciously walking in a certain way, or even sipping a drink in a certain way to begin to interrupt the internal cycles upon which the stress cycle relies.
Yes, yes. And now I work as a transpersonal therapist, and for many years I've worked with principles such as what you pay attention to, you tend to become. And I was fascinated that you've translated, from my perspective, you've translated some very profound universal principles in a way that fit with military thinking. For example, week one lesson is about what's on the screen. And to me, that's another way of helping people focus on the now, the present. Stay focused on the fact of what is actually happening now, as opposed to going off somewhere else or being concerned about the future. So I was very fascinated I'm assuming that was very deliberate on your part. Is that so?
It was, and from the very beginning, I was acutely aware, because of my own military background, that in many ways the military audience exists at the opposite end of the cultural spectrum from the typical yoga audience. And so it was really clear to me. And by the way, 10 years ago when we first were putting the program together, this was even more so. Today, yoga and meditation have become much more, I think, palatable to more of the country on both sides of the spectrum. But back then, it was even more polarized. So it was really clear to me that if I wanted this to be successful, I needed to present it in a way with a language that was going to be not only accessible, but friendly and digestible by the military audience. So, and I'll also add to this, is that my approach to mindfulness and meditation and yoga as such has always been one that has been very scientific, that I'm interested in the scientifically replicable processes and techniques that can be employed in order to, say, normalize the nervous system, as opposed to some of the more dogmatic or cultural aspects to the practices. So it wasn't too hard for me in that respect to really kind of take just the techniques that work on the mind and body to normalize out-of-control stress and other issues and present them independent of some of the cultural biases or other things that might not resonate with this particular population.
Mm-hmm. You know, prior to the show, you and I spoke briefly, and I shared with you that I'm in the process of moving out of my home, cleaning it out, moving it out, having it painted, and so forth. And yesterday I was talking with somebody, and they went, "Oh, that's stressful." And I said to them, "Well, it's a lot of work, but I'm not feeling tremendously stressed because I'm not resisting it. I'm really involved in clearing out my home." and it's something I want to do. And that's a big part of what you're doing in your bootstrap process. When you when, for example, you talk about looking at what's on the screen, where you say, look, what's on the screen is on the screen and you can't change it. It's not negotiable. It's what's happening. And when that occurs, when you get people to do that, then they're not in resistance. Is that, does that agree with your thinking?
You really struck on, I think, one of the most important points in the whole bootstrap process and the whole book. And actually, I'm going to cleave that point into two pieces. The first one is that when we're dealing with wanting to be more relaxed or wanting to be happier or wanting to be more stress-free or more productive or whatever you ever, the question is, when do you want it? And of course, the answer always is, I want it now. But the interesting thing about now is that now can't be any different from how it is. So in the moment that I'm stuck in traffic, for now, I'm stuck in traffic. So if I want to be more relaxed now while I'm in traffic, I need to not go to war with traffic because traffic is what's happening now. I need to figure out how to come into what I call a functional relationship with the moment, a functional relationship with being in traffic without creating a whole bunch of unnecessary and optional stress by virtue of the fact that I'm in a dysfunctional relationship with it, which brings me to the second point, which is, it's funny that you chose this word, which is one of the stress intensifiers in the book is resistance. And it's this idea that when a moment that I'm stuck in traffic, that I'm resisting this with this thought that, well, this should not be like this. And who underbuilt this freeway? And why did I choose this? And on and on and on and on. And all of these thoughts are really what's creating the stress experience. We're convinced, by the way, most of us anyway, that sitting in traffic is what's causing the stress. But if we look at sitting in traffic independent of really kind of anything that the mind has to say about it, you're sitting in a comfortable chair, you got some cool air conditioning wafting over you, you're listening to a delightful radio program much like this one, there's not a lot in the situation that is actually stressful unless and until the mind gets involved with this, these thoughts of resistance on this should not be like this. And that's where the stress really comes from, not the traffic. And this, of course, is replicated again and again and again in our relationships, in our jobs, and everywhere we go. And when we can begin to really see this process in work, which is part of the experimentation that we do in the book and in Bootstrap, we're then able to take a step back and say, okay, so I have a choice to relate to this moment in a different way, one that gives me harmony and ease and happiness as opposed to stress, anxiety, and frustration.
Yes, and that is so key, so wonderful. I'm really glad you're getting that message out to people. So we're up to our second break. Eric Wall Robinstein is aiming, in my opinion, to foment a peaceful revolution by waging inner peace. So you're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. www.fullpowerliving.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. If you're just joining us, our topic today is waging inner peace, an approach that's been helping service members and veterans to conquer the symptoms and effects of PTSD without medication and with lasting results. My guest is Eric Wall Robinstein, whose further information can be found at ericwall.com. That's E-R-I-C-W-A-L. .com and also at bootstrapusa.com. So, Eric, to be straightforward and blunt, how do you know that your bootstrap program works?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. In the early days, we did an in-house clinical trial, and we had about 30 veterans and service members from all different backgrounds, including all the way back to Vietnam, to our current conflicts, both men and women, both officers and NCOs, and even the lowest enlisted ranks. And we took them through the whole process. And in that clinical trial, we saw some very significant reduction in the key symptoms of post-traumatic stress, and including insomnia, startle response, inability to concentrate, feeling distant or removed from others. All of these things were significantly improved in really just the first few weeks of the program. And of course, anecdotally, we're getting all sorts of emails and testimonials from folks all over the world. But you know, one of them that was, I think, my favorite story of all is one of our participants was a guy named Bill, and he was a veteran of the first Gulf War. He had come home with post-traumatic stress and a traumatic brain injury and had a whole host of symptoms that were really interfering with his ability to live a healthy and happy life. He'd been in the VA system for over a decade, or about a decade, I guess it was, when he came to see us. He was in various talk therapies as well as some pharmaceuticals. And he was doing pretty good, but he was still experiencing tremors and some restlessness, insomnia, anxiety, and things like that. And in the first, I think it was 3 weeks into the program, he went down to the VA, and he sat down with his therapist, who he had been seeing for years and years and years. And within the first 5 minutes of talking to him, his therapist looks at him and goes, "Bill, what have you been doing?" And Bill kind of was taken aback. He's like, it felt like he was in trouble or something. He said, "I don't know. What do you mean?" He said, "There's something different about you. You're calmer. Your tremors are gone. Your everything about you seems to be more relaxed and present to what's going on here." And of course, Bill shared with him that he was going through the bootstrap program and what it had done for him. And the thing that he reported was that as much as anything else, what was important to him was the fact that bootstrap he felt for the first time empowered in his own healing. He told me later that the whole process of moving through the VA, and this is to take nothing away from the very well-intentioned work of the good people at the VA. They have their challenges, but they're all really trying to do their best. But he had always felt like he was more of a victim of his stress condition and then just going to somebody else and hoping that they could fix him. And with the bootstrap process, the internal sources of his stress had been illuminated for him in such a way that he felt like, okay, now I am a participant in my own healing, and that shift alone made tremendous change for him going forward. And I'm still in touch with him today. This was, almost 8 years ago now, and he's really doing phenomenally. As a matter of fact, he's gone back to school, and he's got his master's in social work, and he's on to a whole new career.
Oh, my gosh, what a story. That appears to be somewhat of a movement I heard on PBS radio yesterday. I don't remember exactly what it is, but the Medicare people are setting things up to put people more in charge of dealing with their own medical issues also. So that's I love that. I think responsibility is one of the key concepts, key things that all of us need to do in order to have our lives work well. So that's wonderful. One of the parts of your book that I was interested in And I could see how the military would foster this, was the idea that people would make effort to do bootstrap correctly rather than move with bootstrap and allow the changes to happen on their own. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon that I've seen not only with the military population, but, you know, our whole society is very much becoming more and more of a type A achievement-based environment. And we all step into anything new, whether it's a stress management program, a job, or even a yoga class, and we want to get it right, and we want to do a good job, which is a good thing. The trouble is that as we're moving to try to lessen our stress, this hunger, desire, or impatience for progress can actually become a secondary source of stress. And I see this all the time, not only with Bootstrap, but my other students as well. And so as I'm trying to engage in maybe a mindfulness exercise, but my mind is racing and not being cooperative, I then begin to judge my mind for being uncooperative, and I feel like a failure, which then creates stress about the program, which then adds on top of the stress that I walked into the program with, and it begins to kind of become a vicious cycle really, really quickly. And that's why there's a whole lesson in the Bootstrap system, and within the book, of course, that addresses this program, this problem by combining two techniques or concepts, and we call it the balanced approach. One is about practice or effort, and the other one is about surrender or acceptance. And so the idea is that these things happen in tandem. I have a weird vision in my head. I liken it to alternating current, which is always going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while I'm doing my best to perform a technique, for example, in that moment I'm doing my best, in the very next moment I am relaxing and accepting how it's turning out. And then I do my best, and then I accept, and I do my best, and then do my accept, and then I accept. And by melding these two seemingly opposing concepts, we optimize our ability to make progress without taking unnecessary steps backward.
Yeah. So waging inner peace is very military focused, and your stories involve military situations. And you acknowledge what is taught by the military in order to survive the challenges of war. But just a few minutes ago, you said my other students. Talk about who else, what other groups or collections of people have been drawn to your work.
Well, we've had literally people from almost every walk of life avail themselves to the Bootstrap program. In addition to the program and the book, we also have an instructor training course in which we train helping professionals like therapists, social workers, meditation teachers, nurses, and doctors, as well as spouses of the military and veterans and others, how to teach the Bootstrap program in small group and individual settings. So these good folks have spent the time with us to understand the behind-the-scenes workings of the program, and then have been really empowered to go out in the world and teach the program in community centers and schools and churches and EDA centers on our behalf. And so as a result of their work, and of course the book too has put this into the hands of an awful lot of diverse populations as well, we're really reaching out and making the program available to people from those who have suffered loss or who have been in traumatic situations like car accidents, all the way to people who are just stressed out from the fast-paced modern world. So it's becoming more and more spread throughout the country.
And in addition to your website, bootstrapusa.com, where can people get a copy of your book?
We are on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers have the book. And I do want to mention, you mentioned this earlier, but I want to make sure that we get this in, is that at bootstrapusa.com, not only can you get a copy of the book, But there is that's where the home of the whole bootstrap system, and it's 100% free for all troops, veterans, and their family members to register for. So I really want to make sure that everybody knows that that free program is available for any of our service members or veterans in need.
Good. Yes, I think that's just wonderful. And I want to comment, too. I certainly got the impression that you're really excited about spreading this information, this process, to as many people as could possibly want this kind of information, and I think it's certainly a worthy program for doing that. So I want to encourage all of you who are listening to go check out all that Eric has on his site, and also give it a try yourself, or share the program with people you may know who are dealing with stress in their lives who might want to change it. So, Eric, when I read your words, I can feel the excitement you have about helping people, and particular veterans and service members. And you've developed a way of retraining the mind, the emotions, and our body so that we can get relief from PTSD in a matter of weeks rather than months or years. And by packaging your program and putting out the book, you're able to reach an enormous number of people instead of overloading the VA medical system. You can say, here, take this home and do this. But I do want also to reinforce your statement that commitment to doing the program is a requisite for getting the results. And so, you know, just taking the program home won't do it. And I think it's brilliant that you're offering it to service members and active and veterans gratis. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about this and to learn what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's been a great, great pleasure.
Yes. Well, thank you for being on Full Power Living today. So that's Eric Wall Robinstein, who's author of Waging Inner Peace, and find out more about him at bootstrapusa.com. And remember, next week, listen when I talk with the thus far unstoppable 15-year-old Chase Bailey, host of In Your Face Cooking on YouTube and author of the In Your Face Cookbook. I really look forward to having you with us next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, along with your friends and family. And remember, you can listen on our archives, and you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. So thank you for listening. We look forward to having you with us again next week. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.